Woodley, how you doing? Welcome back to the show.
I'm doing good. Actually got a game to cover myself this week. It kind of feels nice after the Canucks have been out of town for a couple weeks. Get back to the grind.
Well, the grind will be short-lived because the All-Star break is coming up. And, you know, they're switching it to three-on-three. They're going to play a lot of three-on-three, which for goaltenders, is a lot of puck movement back and forth. What have you talked to the goaltenders? Like, they never liked the All-Star game at the best of times. But how do goalies, avoid an injury in a game like this where I would think three-on-three might expose them to more potential injuries as far as moving in motions they normally wouldn't do?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the quote that kind of triggered the alarm bells early this season, because I've kind of been polling guys as they come through town, and he kind of threw out the caveat that, hey, I might not be there, and at the time it seemed absurd, but he won't be, and I'm sure he's happy not to be, was Henrik Lundqvist, because he said that when they go from the end of the game to three-on-three overtime, you actually have to kind of, he feels like you have to almost have a find another level physically, and that's great if you've had 60 minutes to make sure everything's warmed up. But if you're flying straight into it, as they will be at this All-Star game, that you're right. There are a lot more, there has the potential to be a lot more need for explosive, reactive, fully extended saves. The kind of things that you don't want to be making unless the muscles you need to make them are really, really warmed up and ready to go. And so, you're going to see guys be careful, I would imagine, with making sure they get to do their full regular pregame warm-up routine, everything that they normally do to make sure they're ready to play a game. And beyond that, Jason, to be honest with you, the answer I get the most from these guys, including some that are going, is they're almost counting on the fact that nobody else is going to be going 100%. And so almost counting on the fact that they're not going to be pushed to the max, that it is still an All-Star game format. And, hey, they're going to be expected to give up even more goals in three-on-three than they would in a regular All-Star game format. And so you put the regulator on yourself as a goaltender. And to me, the danger is, it's one thing to go in there with the approach that, hey, man, for the first 5 minutes of this, I'm not doing the splits, going post to post. If I make a good push over my knees and they beat me to the back door and get a tap in, they get a tap in. But sometimes in the heat of the battle, it's really tough to kind of pull in. I mean, as a guy who's torn things playing, shinny, you go out there, I'm not quite warm. You're not going to try and do too much, but all of a sudden that save is there and you do everything you can to make it. And I think that risk is certainly there. So you're going to have to make sure that you are just everything. You've done your dynamic warm-up. I mean, the reality is these guys have 30 to 40-minute routines they do before a game to make sure they're loose. And it's going to be even more important to make sure they do those to their fullest heading into the three-on-three action at the All-Star game.
Kevin Woodley from Ingold Magazine joins us. Kevin, we're now 5 weeks away from the trade deadline. We've heard Bernier on the market for a long time. James Reimer is a guy who's put up very good numbers. And I know that he did a little bit of change to his style. He got more into the head trajectory this year. And it takes some guys a while to get used to it, but he clearly seems to have it down pat. Who's been helping him with that, number one? And number two, if you're the Leafs and you had to choose one of the two, who would you choose to keep long term?
Well, that's a tough question. And I think the variable that I can't answer for the Leafs is, what is it going to cost them to keep James Reimer? Because that has to factor into this in terms of what the contract demands will be, how long-term we're looking at for security does he want, and all those kind of parameters. And I don't have that answer. And that's a big part of this equation. But when you hear that they're shopping Bernier now, you've got to think it's with an eye towards keeping Reimer. In terms of the head trajectory stuff, and I would think that James would be amicable to that. I don't think he's looking to break the bank because this is where it gets interesting in terms of, if you're another team looking at him, you have to understand that, how many times have I told you goaltending never exists in a vacuum, that the way the structure plays out in front of you, either aids or makes your life a lot tougher. And James is the first one to admit that for all the changes he's made, the structure in front of him under Babcock and the ability to not just know where the play's supposed to go, but trust that it's going to go there and the guys will funnel it in that direction so that you need to worry about A and somebody else has B and C, it's such a big part for him. So I think that kind of like Devin Dubnyk in Minnesota last year, there's probably a recognition there that some of his success is part of being on this team and the way they structure things. And so there was a willingness in Dubnyk's case to, you know, potentially take less than what he might have gotten on the open market. And I wouldn't be surprised if the same thing exists for Reimer. In terms of the changes he's made to his game, because that is a big part of it too. You know, we've talked about the head trajectory. We've talked about the work in the summer with Lyle Mast of OR Sports. And I was lucky enough to kind of be on the ice and see some of that work firsthand and some of the changes in his game. And that's a really big part of the changes. But how he's now, how those have manifested themselves with the Leafs and with new Maple Leafs goaltending coach Steve Briere is another part of it. So, and the biggest change is, and I'm surprised nobody's really talked about this, but he's way more aggressive. If you look at on rush chances, he is out well beyond the crease and retreating with the play, which wasn't typically what we saw of James Reimer. So he's got some backwards flow, some real skating to his game on rush chances. On end zone play, he's out above the crease or at least to the edge of the crease. That wasn't the case even at the start of the season. And that's not an easy adjustment to make. We've seen it. We talked about Carolina and Eddie Lack and how he couldn't feel comfortable out there. James does. And I think that it all goes hand in hand. Does he feel comfortable at the edge of his crease because he knows that the system's going to take away the back door? Absolutely. Does he feel comfortable at the edge of his crease because the goalie coach has gone about building that comfort and building those habits in a positive environment and played a big role in kind of allowing him to feel that trust? Absolutely. Does he feel comfortable at the top of the crease because the head trajectory, the way he tracks pucks and the way his body moves and gains angle and rotation early before he moves around the crease allow him to play at the top of the crease? Absolutely. So you add all those things together and you've got a guy who is being more aggressive, being more assertive in his positioning, but he's not getting stranded. He's not getting trapped out there. And it's a combination along with the way the Leafs defend that has him leading the NHL in save percentage right now. And, you know, almost at the opposite end of where Bernier is on the scale in terms of, you know, stats like goals saved above average. So all those things add up to a very good James Reimer. I guess the question for other teams, if they're interested, is taking away the defensive structure, how much does removing that building block start to crumble the other parts? So just as there are no one things and one factor above others in this puzzle, there are no easy answers in terms of keep him or move him. And I think for James Reimer, like I said, like Dubnyk, you got to look at it honestly too and realize that the situation's good for me as well, that yes, I've made these changes, and those changes will apply with other teams, but will I be able to apply them as aggressively, as assertively, if I don't have the same type of defensive support that you have under Babcock in Toronto?
Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine. We're going to get you to tighten up that answer next time, Woods. That was like 5 minutes of because I know you love the goalie, but you still didn't answer. Who are you choosing, one or the other, Bernier or Reimer?
I would choose Reimer.
Okay.
And I get the... I'll take the mulligan on this one because I'm pretty sure I was on record before the season as making the same choice.
Okay, perfect. No, that's good to know. Now, speaking of goalies, and I know you follow it all the time, people have talked about save percentage, and then there's adjusted save percentage. There's a new stat out there. Is it good? Do you like it? I don't even know what it's called.
You know, it's, I think, is it the Mercad per 60? I don't even know if it's being official.
Yeah, like, is that what, because I couldn't see the, I've seen it, but I don't know if there's a name for it.
I think we need to get a new name for it, and we'll have to talk to Nick Mercadante about that, because he's the guy that put it together. I mean, and basically what it is just a different breakdown on some existing stats. Listen, goals saved above average is a stat that's been out there for a couple of years now and is increasingly getting used. And what it does is takes a look at what, you know, a goalie save percentage on his team and his situation and compares it to the rest of the league and compares it to league average and says, hey, compared to a league average goaltending, is your guy saving you goals or costing you goals? And what he's done is he's adjusted that stat for shot distance, shot quality, based on some of the metrics we've talked about, war on ice, with their adjusted save percentage. In other words, save percentage, saves in the house are graded as a little harder than saves from the point. again, not the end-all be-all, but as much as we have easy access to. So you adjust it for the type and difficulty of shot, and he adjusts it per 60 minutes. So the problem with goals saved above average is it was cumulative. So guys who played a lot, that number increased and increased and increased, or if they were playing poorly, went the other way.
Okay. Yeah.
By making it a per 60 metric, you can kind of look at it as, hey, roughly per game. And you look at some of the numbers, I mean, you know, Bernier at the bottom end and Reimer at the top end. I mean, there are some guys who are posting some historic numbers. I mean, saving their team close to a goal a game, or close to, you know, three quarters of a goal per game compared to league average goaltending. And there are some guys at the other end. What I like about it is the idea of how many goals per game is this guy saving us compared to others, with all the other adjustments worked in. At the end of that long explanation, that should sort of be an easy thing to kind of sort out. And we see some trends, like Corey Crawford, who deserves more credit than he's getting for how well he's playing in Chicago. But when you start to weight the difficulty of his shots, you know, he slides below Ryan Miller in Vancouver, who I think a lot of people, for the most part, have been critical of based on his raw numbers. But when you break down, you know, the type of shot quality he's faced and the lack of defensive quality in front of him at times, he deserves more credit than he's gotten. So it kind of resorts some guys and puts them in different spots than the raw numbers put them, and it's really interesting to see where everybody kind of flushes out.
You study the goalie position a lot. That's why I get you on. Corey Crawford's a guy who's won cups. I know people say, well, he's behind Keith and Seabrook and Hjalmarsson, and that's fair. It's valid. But where do you rank Crawford? Is he underappreciated, or is it fair to question his ability based on who plays in front of him?
No, I don't think it's fair to question it. I think he is underrated, and I say that because, I mean, as somebody who probably contributed to some of the negative thoughts about him, I mean, when that first Stanley Cup, when the gloves started to fail him and clearly it was being targeted, you know, when you broke it down, there was a legitimate deficiency there in the way he moves his glove hand, and when he's not feeling great about his game, it gets exposed. And so that hasn't changed. And I think the narrative was sort of built around that. Yes, he slides down the Mercad per 60 ranking based on good defense in front of him. But what rankings like that don't tell you is how tough it can be to play behind a team where you don't see shots. And we've talked about this before with Holtby. When you're not busy, to stay focused, to stay sharp. I've had other goalies talk about how mentally strong they believe Corey Crawford is because, A, he's able to sort of play through a lot of the criticism, and it was heated at times in his first Stanley Cup playoff run, and not be undone by that, not be undone when things like the glove do get exposed, and also just kind of maintain an even keel behind a team that, you know, doesn't give up a lot of shots, doesn't give up a lot of easy shots, a lot of feeler shots from the outside that let a goalie sort of touch the puck, feel good about his game, and he manages to kind of handle that really well. I think some of the criticism, too, is he wears those rail straight pads on purpose, and every movement, I think, is part as a result of the pads and sort of a bit the way he plays, it just looks a little more mechanical, a little choppier. It's not silky. It's not smooth. It's not pretty sometimes. But when you add all those factors up, you know, I mean, he deserves to be in those conversations among one of the better goaltenders in the NHL. Where would I rank him? I need more time to think it through. But to be honest with you, like, he probably deserves to be one of those guys in up for the bottom three of, you know, Vezina this year. I don't think he tops Holtby. The adjusted numbers tell you he's even below Lundqvist. But he deserves to be in that conversation, and too many times I find he's ignored it in it. And honestly, even by myself, I did it with my last NHL.com Vezina rankings. I didn't even put him as also in the mix, and admittedly, that was an oversight on my part. He deserves to be there.
Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine, NHL.com, joins us. Kevin, one last one. I know you got to see bits and pieces of Anders Nilsson's last game, and, you know, like, his last seven starts, his highest save percentage has been .893. He's averaging .856 over that time. Like, that's, you know, that's below awful at this point. What are you seeing different in his game from when he was a guy who for a month straight looked like he was a legit NHL goalie?
Yeah, the last one in particular, just it's hard to it's really hard to kind of say without talking to a guy that he doesn't, you know, that he's not confident, but he didn't look like he was confident in it. And when I say that, it manifests itself in his movement and his positioning. We talked earlier this season about, hey, at his size, he doesn't need to be aggressive, but there's a fine line between assertive and aggressive. And last time he looked neither. Just the reads looked off. And even as a guy who plays it more neutral, plays deeper, doesn't put himself out of position as much, he seemed to be trailing everything. And, you know, sometimes that's game speed. You know, it's on the goalie coach to sort of replicate game situations in practice to let guys feel good about themselves when they're not playing as often as they do. But the reality is you can't replicate game speed and game reads. And so he just looked a little uncertain. And at this level, you can't. I mean, any hesitation, any delay to getting to position, you're going to get exploited. I don't care how big you are or how well you track. And just, you know, I didn't think the other starts, even though the numbers weren't great up till that point, were that bad. But just that last one, there was, you know, there was a hesitation and a lack of confidence that I thought kind of came through watching him move, watching him react, watching him try to read plays, and honestly just being behind on most of them.
Kev, always good to catch up with you, my man. Enjoy the Predators in Vancouver. Pekka Rinne, at least his last few starts, starting to look like the goalie of yesteryear.
Yeah, looking forward to catching up with Pekka and finding out kind of what's changed and how he's dealt with this and heading into an all-star game. And, you know, it hasn't been his best year, but we all know what he's capable of, and it'll be interesting to see how his kind of take on this. Because I will tell you one thing about Pekka. You will not find a nicer guy, a better person in the NHL than Pekka Rinne. So it's always a pleasure when he comes to town.
Thanks, Kev. We'll talk to you next week.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.